aspect. You sit there for 2 hours, and sometimes you're looking at these characters and saying, gosh, I wish I was like that. I wish I could do that.
All right, guys, we're here with Michael Scott. This guy produced the four God's Not Dead films. He also co-EP'd Netflix's A Line of Fire, starring Cuba Gooding Jr. His films have generated over $200 million at the box office. He previously was the co-founder of PureFlix, which was a faith-based streamer that got acquired by Sony. And he just launched EKKL Entertainment. So, Michael, I guess I'm curious, could you first kind of give us like a rundown of what EKKL is doing kind of in the film and TV space?
Yeah, well, the first thing is people say, how do you say it? So it's Ekel. It's
Ekel. Okay, okay.
Ekel.com. You can go to Ekel.com or you can download the app, Ekel. We are doing such a, we're a multi-vertical streamer. And what you're like, what is that? What does that mean? We're not only doing movies and series, we're also doing podcasting. We have an incredible podcast lineup. We also are going to be introducing audiobooks later this year. We also have a prayer and devotional section for our faith audience. So we're kind of across all the different genres, whether you like to listen to books, you want to listen to podcasts, you want to read, pray, whatever it is, watch, we kind of do it all inside the app. So it's kind of what I call one app to get everything, like a super subscription, and you get access to the whole bit.
Nice. And like specifically in the film and TV space, I'm curious to kind of dive in and understand a little bit more granularly. Yeah. Like what you're doing there. Yeah.
You know, we're acquiring, so we've distributed films for a while. I've produced probably over 70 or 80 films over the course of the last 20 years. And we are working with creators to bring their films, not only to our platform, our streaming platform, but we wanted to help them take them out theatrically. We want to help them do all the digital distribution, DVD, TV sales, SVOD sales, whatever it might be. We want to help them to get their film to the audience in there. So we'll take them theatrically. We'll also take them to our streamer as well in there. And we'll also sell those films internationally across the board. So we get involved in all aspects, from films that are in the very early stages from script all the way to finished film that we can take out. And then from time to time, we're also looking at producing some of our own as well that we do internally.
Oh, nice. And like how many films theatrically per year are you guys looking at?
We're looking at probably 6 to 8 next year is our target. We've done like, I don't know, 4 or 5 this year. I can't remember, 4 or 5 this year. So we've done a few that we're going to have throughout this year. We have a few more coming, and excited. Most of our film is kind of in that faith, family, inspirational space. So we look for films that are great for the family or just great, inspiring films, you know, that are fun to watch. You can watch them with your family individually. And then also we would look for films that, you know, talk about great themes like forgiveness, you know, redemption, whatever it might be in a film that really can drive some really great character arcs. And you get to see kind of the faith and how it plays out.
It's kind of interesting too, because it's been like obviously a very kind of interesting time for faith-based films at the box office, where you've seen some that are like are really hitting. Obviously, Young Washington is not really a faith-based film, but it's coming from Angel Studios,
yeah,
and it has like major A-list stars. So I'm curious, like, you know, you've got Angel Studios, you've got Sony's Affirm. Like, how are you guys kind of separating yourselves from the kind of stuff that those other kind of companies are doing?
I think one of the key things we're doing, and not to get too technical, we're working with film creators where basically we're taking those films and championing them through all the way through the ecosystem, internationally, domestically, and everything like that. And we have a different way we work on the deals and everything that benefits the creators much more greatly than any other studio or anything like that. We don't participate in the film revenue or anything like that. That all goes back to the film producer, and we work out some deals on the streaming side. So it really benefits the creator in an incredible way. And we also say, if you don't win, we don't win. We want the biggest box office for your film, because if that bigger box office does well, it does better on our streamer. So we're all joined at the hip for the same for the same goals and everything like that. And we got some incredible films coming up. We got one called Elijah Peel. It's a great redemption story about this musical artist. We have another one coming up in September on Daniel from the Bible, the book of the on the book of Daniel. That's really, really cool. I think people will really enjoy that when you're going back to biblical times. Got a host of other ones coming as well. So excited about the lineup and what's happening.
It's kind
and
of
we'll get involved early too with these films. So sometimes well before they're done or even at the script stage so that we can help shape them and bring them to the screen.
Can you talk about maybe how you've developed those two projects from the earlier stages, those two theatrical films that you mentioned?
We didn't, those came to us a little bit later, but I can talk in general how we do it. You know, we will get involved at the script stage. You know, someone will submit a script, we'll look at it and say, we think this has got the right elements into it. And then at that point, we'll help with refinements of the script, saying, giving our input. You know, what does the audience want? How do we think this will play? What kind of cast do we think is needed for this film, depending on the size and scope of what it is? So we'll get involved in all of those aspects, you know, and even help sometimes producers or whoever's bringing the script, we'll help them, you know, say, hey, if you need a director, let's make some recommendations, producer, whatever it might be, the different aspects. Also, if we can connect them with actors and different things like that, we'll do that as well.
It's kind of interesting that you talk about like what the audience wants, because I imagine like from PureFlix and then your streaming service, you've like an incredible amount of information about like what the audience wants. I'm curious, like, are you guys like more metric? Yeah. Can you just, yeah, I'd love for like a bit of a deep dive
I think
that.
For us, I see so many films that come to us, right? And they're finished and you get it and you're like, gosh, this would have been good, but this, and this, these three things are really problematic for the audience. So, I always say, get your distributor involved or get us involved early, because we can weigh in and say, here's the pitfalls we see in the script or for the market. And here's where we think we're gonna have trouble. Let's try and alter those things, fix them now, whatever it might be, so that we're designing a film that we think the broadest possible audience will go after. And that's what we ultimately want. One of the things I think is filmmakers can be very sometimes tunnel vision, right? And we can say, hey, did you think about this? Or you're going too wide when we need to be more narrow, or vice versa, the other way. And so we really get down into the nitty gritty of shaping those scripts to make sure they fit, especially if it's going to be a faith-based film. What is maybe not working for the faith audience and what is? And there are some very fine lines in there that you can't cross, and other ones where you can push a little bit more.
Can you share what those are and like what those mistakes are?
I think some of the things are, you know, people, you know, you kind of got, you know, your big ones. You get your language, your sex, and your violence, right? Okay. This is interesting. Language can be a problem, right? You know, language is not that the audience won't respond to that. Violence to a certain degree is more acceptable. Sex is not. So kind of knowing those things, also knowing who was this designed for? You put Catholic characters in it, it may not work for the Christian audience, but you make a Christian film, it might be work for the Catholic audience. So there's all these like little nuances to understand. How do you make sure you haven't alienated different sects or groups, right? Denominations in there, to actually what you want to do is get a film that plays across all the denominations, all of the faith crowd in terms of what you're looking for, and understanding the nuances in what you're portraying from a biblical message or thing, and how does it line up across all those is really key to your ability to have success or failure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's clear that you've got like a tremendous amount of insight from all of them.
And we also know the genres that play well, like, right? You see a lot of drama, right? Comedies typically have not played well. Even though the audience say they want them, comedies have typically not done well. Whereas drama films have done much better. I mean, it's pretty easy in the drama side. There's like different ways to do it. Biblical films do really well. I think it's, you know, also the other thing you got to realize is I think filmmakers don't realize they may have a great story, right? It's incredible. It's got all the elements, whether it's faith or not. But how do I sell this, right? Sometimes it's harder to get bigger name actors in these films. Not always, but sometimes it is. So what is the hook that's going to drive that? Just a great story is not enough anymore to drive an audience out to a theater. So what is the marketing hook? What is the actor, or what is unique about this that's totally different that makes someone want to spend $15 to go to the theaters and sit for 2 hours? It's a more complicated thing. So it's not just looking at the story, but then it's looking at the marketing elements of it to say, can we drive this?
I'm curious too. So obviously you guys picked up She Dances, which is a film that I really which I got to see, which I loved. Actually, we interviewed Steve a little while back actually for that film. So that obviously is not a faith-based film, but it's a family film, and it's a very kind of warm film, and it's a very beautiful film. So I'm curious about, like, you're talking about like marketing strategy. I'm curious if you could maybe talk about the pickup for that and then the strategy that you guys are thinking for that
Yeah,
movie.
I think the fan, it's a great family film. It's got Ethan Hawke, Stephen Zahn,
Yeah.
Maddie Ziegler in it, or Mackenzie Ziegler. It's really a great family film. So not everything we do has got to be faith. So we want to be able to broaden out, because not everybody wants, even in the faith crowd, it's not like they want to watch a faith film every single night, right? They still want to laugh. They still want to have fun. They want some general entertainment too, but they're looking for things that don't violate their values necessarily. And I think She Dances was a great film. It had great family values. It was fun to watch, kind of, it's coming to age film, with everything that's there. And so it was a perfect fit for us. We really saw that that had some great streaming potential. That's headed to Peacock here next month. And
Nice.
so we'll see it on the Peacock service. And then it's out also on Amazon. You can rent it on Amazon now and everything like that. So I think it was a well-done film that was different, and it fit with the type of films that we're wanting to do. And that gives you kind of that broad perspective. We're doing a biblical film like Daniel, right? And we're doing another on the other extreme over here. We're doing a great family film with Stephen Zahn and Ethan Hawke.
That's awesome. So She Dances, is that going to get a theatrical at all, or is that just going straight
We
to?
did a small theatrical, like 10 screens back
Okay.
in March. So it already did the theatrical. Now it's on to the other side, pieces of the thing.
Okay, nice. And will that eventually go to your streaming service after it?
It will. It'll probably end up next year on our service, on Echo. So after Peacock, it'll come over there.
And can you talk a little bit about, like, because it sounds like Echo already has like 350 titles already in there. So I'm curious.
Yeah, so we've licensed a lot of great shows. We partnered with the Duck Dynasty family, the Robertsons. So
Yeah.
we have the Duck Dynasty shows. We have some of their movies they've done, like The Blind, which was big at the box office. We have a host of content from them. We have all the God's Not Dead movies, Do You Believe? We have biblical movies. We have even some action movies, some actually faith-based action films that are really cool in there. So we got a mix. We got an incredible kids lineup as well. Hundreds of pieces of content in the kids area as well too. So you get a well-rounded offering, over 350 titles just in the movies and series thing that people can jump on and start consuming today. I think we also have The Last Supper on there. We have other ones on there. So it's really cool to see what we have.
Can you talk about, like, kind of the lessons you learned at PureFlix and then building this new kind of streaming platform?
Yeah, I think people are getting a little bit of subscription fatigue. And you got a subscription for your movies, you got multiple subscriptions to your movies, you got a subscription for podcasting, that people have a prayer and devotional subscription. We thought if we can combine everything into one kind of super hub, it'll be really easy for the consumer to get everything they want for this inside there. So that was kind of the genesis for this entire streamer across the board. And we think also, we noticed too that in the streaming services, people watch a movie once a week on these faith streams, maybe once a month, maybe once a quarter. But what they are doing, they are reading maybe daily. They're listening to podcasts weekly or daily. They're doing the prayer and devotion. So those other pieces, we can really engage them more on a daily basis versus a weekly or monthly basis.
Okay, that makes sense. So that was kind of, it sounds like that was the lesson that was learned at PureFlix. Like, there wasn't enough kind of like.
Retention and giving the consumer more of what they want in one place is what we thought would be best. And it's, as we're only a week into it, it's proven out. I think we're starting to get some traction, and it's going. And so we're excited. And I think people will also be able to see all of the theatrical films we have three coming at between now and the end of the year, and then we have a whole host of lineup for next year as well.
And are you guys thinking that you'll probably adapt some of the audiobooks and podcasts into film at some point, depending on performance? Or like, how are you thinking about that?
Possibly, audiobooks, maybe the podcasters we are talking about. What could that look like? What ideas are out of there? A lot of these guys have incredible podcasts for built around different subjects. How could we take that interesting subject with the audience they have and maybe drive something that's a theatrical or piece of content that could be, displayed both in Echo but also in the theater?
And that would be something like the in-house development that you were talking about, it sounds like,
Yes.
essentially.
We would help the in-house development, and then we would connect them with producers, directors, and everything to actually create the content. And we think it's important that you've seen it with Backroom, Obsession, all of these movies are coming out of these audience. We think that it's really important. They got these giant audiences that are listening to them weekly, and that if we can take some of the ideas they have or want to share with their audience and get them involved early on, it's a great way to do it, where you have, they're involved in the creation, all the way through the marketing and release of the film, and really being able to engage their audience in a significant way to drive them out to see a unique experience that's kind of from them. We see a lot of potential in that.
That's awesome. Are you hinting that there's going to be a faith-based horror film in the works?
You know what? There's been a couple people. I'm trying to think of some names that have done it. I think there is some. There's even films that cross over going back in the day that are. I'm trying to think of it. What was the one horror? Because kind of a faith horror film. But when you get in kind of that exorcism and demons and all these other things, I think there's a lot of thing. There, it's not a horror film, it's not a thriller, but there's a couple in the works, like This Present Darkness. That's a really cool film that deals with angels and demons and the kind of looking in the spiritual world. So I think that we will start to see more of that. I think what you've seen is the industry come from really low budget, cheap and cheesy movies to much higher production value, better actor, better production value, all of these things. But now I think you're also going to begin to see more widening of the genre as well, which will be interesting to see how the audience gets behind it. Like you said, why not a faith-based horror film? I think if it's done right and it's cool, there could be a lot of interesting things.
Well, it's kind of interesting too, because I'm curious how you would characterize something like The Conjuring or The Exorcist, which obviously like are
As
religious
far
themes, but they're
Yeah.
not necessarily like faith-based, but they obviously deal in that kind of area.
I believe the writers and director that are from a faith background. And so they're putting those things into it, a great thing. That's kind of what I call it's got that faith elements in it, but it's a mainstream film. And I think that's what we probably need to do if we're going to create horror films. I think a horror film that's targeted at, an older faith-based crowd will be a tougher sell, but I think if you can do more things like The Conjuring or other things like that, I think it could be really interesting. I think young people are interested in faith and God and what is this world about, but it's all how it's presented. Is it jammed down your throat, or is it subtly and organically weaving into the script where it makes sense versus being jammed down your throat?
I mean, it's interesting too, because the Conjuring had its The film that Warner Brothers released last year was the biggest opening for a
Oh no,
Conjuring.
it was huge. It
It
was
made the
huge,
most out of
crazy.
any of the films. And then
So
Russell.
there's an audience that craves it. Even films, it's a little different. You have The Nun and all these other ones. They have faith elements in them. I think there's some great, interesting stories that could be done. I even saw one that was dealing with angels and demons that was really cool, and I was like, gosh, we need to get involved with that one. That I would kind of classify as a horror film, horror thriller maybe. So
What would
I
you?
think we're going to see more of them in the years to come. I also think some of the hurdles, I know people have varying degrees in the thing. I think that with AI, some of these worlds that you couldn't create before on your budgets will be creatable at a budget, which will allow some of these films to even thrive more in these genres and realms that I think could be interesting to bring these worlds alive.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if people are able to pull it off. Obviously, Doug Liman has now shot a movie that's going to be entirely on AI backgrounds, and there was a film at Tribeca that was entirely AI generated. So I think we'll have to see if there's any audience appetite for this type of stuff. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things everybody's hesitant right now, the whole AI thing. What is this good? Is this bad? I saw an interview with Matthew McConaughey, and he's like, the wave, he's like, don't bury your head in the sand. It's basically what he was saying. It's already here, you know? And I think it's a great tool that we can use to tell stories in a new and unique way that we may not have been able to do it. I also think the tool can be used by filmmakers that never would have had the chance to make the Star Wars or these huge films, right? Now can say, I can explore these worlds. I can do different things. So I think we will see some really incredible work, and we'll see some new voices and some fresh life maybe breathed into some of the cinema that's there that could be very interesting. So it'll be an interesting next few years to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, I think we will definitely see some new creators emerge. One of my kind of fears about AI with people that are just developing their own voices is something that I think is very important in filmmaking is that limitations breed creativity. When you're limited, you have to figure out like how can I be creative with the resources I have? How can I be creative with the story I have? And suddenly when you're given like, these
It's just like
immense,
you can do whatever you want. Yeah.
yeah, completely, yeah, like you kind of turn off the creative,
No, what you
but
do is
yeah.
you're stuck into I'm creating a world, but you're not thinking about the story and the characters. It can become blasé, or how many films have you seen with great effects, but you walk out and you're like, I hated that movie. There was just nothing there. It was just
Yeah, totally.
terrible. And so there will be, can people still tell the story? That they a compelling story, I should say, using these tools, and we'll have to see.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting.
Absolutely.
I'm curious, so like to kind of round things off here, obviously the partnering with the Duck Dynasty folks is kind of amazing, but it's also kind of curious too, because those guys are, they're reality.